Well, just going back over, the data points first for the U.S. last week, we're still getting some very, very strong ones. So, particularly so on housing. So we had the November National Association of Home Builders Index came out last week, and it went up. It was already at a very elevated level. You almost never see readings in the 80s for this particular survey, because it means that just about everybody's optimistic about what's coming. It was at 85 going back to October. They thought that they might hold 85. It went to 90. So this is truly in uncharted territory now for the housing market in the US. It's just taking off like a rocket. And you can see it in some of the other data too. Housing starts for the most recent month. The market thought we would get 3.2%, and this was after a 1.9% gain the month before. The 1.9% gain for the month before was revised to plus 6.3%. And for the current month, it was up another 4.9% on top of that. So at the very leading edge of US economic activity, notwithstanding what's happened with 12 million people who've got COVID now and horrific infection rates over there and the problems with the transition in the presidency, the economy itself, for the time being, is still showing some strength. It's there, but not to the same degree in some of the other leading indicators. So things like the regional manufacturing purchasing managers' reports that we had, both the Empire State, the New York State came out last week, and also the Philadelphia Fed survey. The Empire State survey came back a bit to plus 6.3. Was hoped that might be plus 13.5 from plus 10.5. So perhaps just the beginnings of just a bit of hook over in that. And also the Philadelphia Fed survey, this one came down, but not as much as people expected. It came down to 26.3 from 32.3. 32.3 is a very, very strong reading for this survey. Market thought they'd go down to 24, but they got 26.3 on that. We also had industrial production data, which was strong for the month of October, up 1.1%, and retail sales data, which is showing some signs of fade now. So it has been strong, but remembering that they're still struggling to get the next stimulus payment through Congress in the United States, and that's all got stuck in this horrible intervening period between the election and the inauguration in January. And we had retail sales for the month up 0.2%, market hope for 0.5 there, following a 1.2% gain going back the month before. In terms of election challenges and all those sorts of things, the courts are knocking out just about everything that Trump is pushing up at the moment. And the latest one is the most important one, that's Philadelphia, where they're just about to ratify the election results there. They do not really have a leg to stand on. One of the more bizarre ones was where Trump called in the Michigan electors. So what happens next is the Electoral College votes. And the Electoral College, two people from each state, they cast their votes, but they have to cast them according to the way in which it went in the election. Trump had this bizarre idea that he would call in the two electors from Michigan who he thought might be tame to do the opposite of what the election said when it comes to the Electoral College vote in December. They gave him short shrift on that and said, look, Mr. President, the Constitution under no circumstances allows to do that. So you can see that the options continue to run out. Biden's the president, or he's president-elect, but he will certainly be the president when we get through to January next year. This week in the US, dominated by the end of the week, and again, strange optics this week because it's Thanksgiving week. So Thanksgiving Day is on Thursday. They bunch in a whole load of data that normally will come out through the course of the week into the early part of the week. So through the course of this week, we have manufacturing PMI coming out today for the month of November. Should hold in the early 50s. It was 53.4. Looks as if it'll be around about 53. November services sector PMI was at 46.9. It's expected to rise actually to 55.3. So looking for a sort of reasonable rise running through that. We've got things like November consumer confidence and November consumer sentiment both coming out. they should fade a bit. Consumer confidence was at 100.9, expects to come back to 98. Durable goods orders coming out as well. They're expected to be reasonably strong, up 1% after being up 1.9%. And we'll get a revision to Q3 GDP. There should be very little revision to this. On an annualized basis, it was the strongest rise in history for Q3 for the United States, plus 33.4% annualized growth. And it may fade a little bit to 33.1, but it still will be, by country mile, the strongest annualized GDP growth rate ever seen in the United States. So that one is still to come. Yeah, the paradox is that Q4 is going to be a fair bit softer than that. Obviously, it can't hold at that sort of rebound strength. But for the most part, the data is reasonably accommodating. You still have expectations that even if if Congress and the President are at loggerheads and can't get the stimulus through, sometime it will come through, and the Fed stands backstop and will continue to do whatever it takes to keep things running. Last week in China, we had their regular run of data. So it was things like fixed asset investment spending, industrial production, retail sales, all for the month of October. And for the most part, they were at or a little bit better than expectations. The one that failed that was retail sales. But fixed asset investment, for example, was expected to rise to 1.6%. It rose to 1.8% year on year from 0.8% the month before. Industrial production had a big lift the month before in September to 6.9% year on year. There was a feeling that should fade back to 6.5%. It hasn't. It's held up there at 6.9%. Retail sales, that was at 3.3% year on year going back the month before. There was hope it might lift to 4.9%. It did lift, but to 4.3%. But overall, those data are not too bad. The industrial production one's interesting because there's some limitations on the sorts of things that China continue to restrict from Australia in this trade dispute. The things they're doing are hurting, but the big one by far is iron ore. And there's just not alternative sources of the grades of iron ore that they require, particularly if they're going to keep industrial production beating along at this sort of pace. So there's a limit to the damage they can do to some of our bigger exports, even though, obviously the relationship between Australia and China is not good at this stage. There's not much coming out as far as China's concerned through the course of this week. But as far as Australia was concerned, last week just highlights how we're starting to be one of the biggest outperformers in the world now in terms of prospects for economic activity. Our Q3 GDP, which is the next one that comes out in a week's time, won't look particularly strong by international comparison. But what we've got in spades compared with the rest of the world is that we accelerate big time in Q4. And we got some of that data coming through last week for October. Both of them huge beats of expectations. So we had the October labour force report, for example, and the market thought that employment would fall by 30,000. It rose by 178,800, rose in every single state. And that includes Victoria, which is in lockdown. Huge beat of expectations. People are coming back to the labour force in droves. So the participation rate, was 64.8% going back to September. It went up a full percentage point to 65.8%. It's almost back where it was before the recession started. And at its depths, that was down to 62%. So there's a lot of confidence out there that people think they can get back into jobs. Now, because the participation rate's rising so fast, with that huge rise in employment, you still got a slight drift up in the unemployment rate, but not what the market expected. So the market was looking for the unemployment rate to come up to 7.2%. It went up, but only to 7% from 6.9%. We also had a preliminary reading of October retail sales. there's a handful of people who put out expectations about preliminary retail sales, mostly confined to the larger banks who see a lot of the charge card activity and those sorts of things. And every one of them had a fall in October retail sales of between 1.5 and 2%. That was the expectation. It came in at plus 1.6%. And so the year-on-year for retail sales is up 7.3% year-on-year. There was a rise in every state, and that included Victoria in lockdown. So there's a lot of strength there running through the October retail sales. We also had RBA minute. Oh, we also had the wage price index, and this one's going to take a lot longer to pick up. So the wage price index only rose by 0.1% for the third quarter. So the annual growth in wages is now down to 1.4% year on year from 1.8%. The negative about this is, it's hard to get people to continue spending longer term when you've got wages growth that's running that weak. And you need to see wages growth way stronger than that before, the Reserve Bank would get into any sort of position where they'd even start to begin the process of thinking about, changing rates or lifting them. So, even with the very strong employment data we're getting, whilst you've got wages growth like this, we've got low rates for the foreseeable future. That was the story that's largely coming up out of the RBA minutes and also a speech that Governor Lowe gave and one or two of the other Reserve Bank, senior Reserve Bank people last week. In the RBA minutes, it's pretty clear that what they're aiming to do with monetary policy is, for a start, recover the losses from the recession. Then they want to get the economy running above average for a period of time, and they're going to leave it there running hot for quite a long period of time before they even start to consider thinking about lifting interest rates. So their expectations in that at the moment, mainly on forecasts which are very pessimistic now, and this is true of everybody. The RBA has got relatively pessimistic forecasts relative to where these numbers are coming in at the moment, Treasury also, and all the private sector, particularly those in the banks. Their forecasts are light years away from where the data's coming in. Data's coming in light years stronger than just about everybody's forecast at the moment. You can see it there in these huge misses in things like labour force data and retail trade data. But that's not going to matter too much because the RBA makes the point that it really wants things to run very, very strongly for a long period of time, get things really steaming along, run the economy hot, and then start to think about lifting interest rates at some point. And on their current thinking, that's not at any time over the next 3 years. But remembering that any time over the next 3 years is built on forecasts which are so pessimistic relative to where the numbers are coming in at the moment. So there's a bit of a problem just relating through that. In terms of quantitative easing too, the RBA was pretty adamant that in those minutes that what they want to do is make sure that it's not just the short end of the bond yield curve that they're holding down, but they don't want longer-term bond yields rising too much. They're high by international comparison. That sounds ridiculous when you've got a 10-year bond yield, 0.8 to 0.9%, but that's a very high bond yield rate compared with most places internationally. Can put pressure on the currency. So what they're determined to do is to make sure that stays a little bit lower, preferably than where it is now, and they're quite prepared to adjust quantitative easing accordingly. If the market tries to start lifting those bond yields, they're going to face the RBA every time. The RBA just come in with greater amounts of QE, and that's basically what they said in the minutes. Take us on if you like, but we'll just come and hit you every time you try. And so it's so that's the. The story that's starting to run out of the Reserve Bank. This week in Australia, as far as data is concerned, we get October international trade data. It's a preliminary reading. Has been going pretty well. Going back to September, exports rose 3%, imports fell 1%. We had a big trade surplus of over $5 billion, something similar coming out on Tuesday. We get beginnings of some Q3 data too. Wednesday we got Q3 construction work done and Q3 capital expenditure. They're still expected to be comparatively soft. Market thinks that construction work done was down 2% Q3 2023 CapEx probably down 1.5%. Beware any of the market forecasts now. They tend to be missing on the pessimistic side by quite a large margin, so they could be a lot stronger than that when these numbers come out. And we also get an estimate for 2021 capital spending. Going back to the last estimate 3 months ago, the market thought we'd get about $98.6 billion of capital spending in 2020-21. The estimate for this time is a bit over 100. It could be a lot higher than that, the way things are going. So probably these numbers are going to surprise on the upside again as we go through the course of this week. Turning to Europe, this is a sad case now for Europe. They are struggling with the coronavirus. The only saving grace is that a lot of these vaccines are being developed very fast paced now. Some of them will be starting to go into use late in December, running into the first part of next year. That's certainly the story that's coming out of the UK at the moment. And in some cases, in the case of France and Germany, the infection rate does seem to be capping out, although it is very high. We've got a little bit of a downside to economic activity running through Europe. We'll see it probably in some of the data coming through the course of this week. So things like manufacturing PMIs, services PMIs, both are expected to come down. They're out later today. The manufacturing PMI, low 50s from mid-50s. Services PMI low 40s from mid 40s going back the previous month, and we also get the November business and consumer confidence survey coming out, expected to come down to 86.5 from about 90.9 going back the previous month, but certainly some weakness there running through Europe for the time being. But the increasing story that's coming out at the moment is the outperformance of Australia, and it's being noted overseas too. So it's been talked about a lot in financial reports in many other countries, which is why we should expect to see some of our assets here outperforming relative to those internationally.